Welcome to Thrilling Tales of Adventure. I'm Mardell. And now we return to Black Bartlemy's Treasure by Jeffrey Farnall. Chapter 8. How I Fell in with One God Be Here, the Peddler. Evening was at hand as I reached a little alehouse, well away from the road and pleasantly secluded by trees. Thither came I, fondling Penfeather's money in my pocket, for I was again mightily sharp set. But all at once I stopped, for passing the open lattice I heard loud laughter and a merry voice. "And there, believe me, gossips," quoth this voice, "as sure as this be beef, aye, and good beef, and cooked to a turn, mistress. There's this great loblolly hectoring Tom Button fast to the pillory, and by this good ale a woeful sight, his eyes blacked, his nose a-bleeding, his jerkin torn, and a dead cat about his neck. Ha! Tom Button, big Tom, fighting Tom, so loud a tongue and ready a fist, Tom is of cowed so many. There he is, fast by the neck and a-groaning, see ye, gossips? Loud enough for six. I wish I may die else. And the best of the joke is, the key be gone, as I'm a sinner, so they needs must break the lock to get him out. Big Tom is a-thrashed every man for miles." But here merry voice and laughter ceased, and a buxom woman thrust smiling face from the window, and face like her voice was kindly when she addressed me. "What would ye, young master?" "A little food, mistress," says I, touching my weather-worn hat and pulling it lower over my bruised and swollen features. "Why, come in, master, come in. There be none here but my Roger and God be the peddler, as knoweth everyone." So I entered forthwith a small snug chamber, and seating myself in the darkest corner, acknowledged the salutations of the two men, while the good-looking woman, bustling to and fro, soon set before me a fine joint of roast beef with bread and ale, upon which I incontinent fell to. The two men sat cheek by jowl at the farther end of the table, one a red-faced lusty fellow, the other a small bony man who laughed and ate and laughed, and yet contrived to talk all the while, that it was a wonder to behold. "Was you over to Lamberhurst way, master?" says he to me all at once. I nodded, busy with the beef. "Why, then, happen you saw summat of the sport they had with the big gypsy out of the pillory. Him assaulted my Lady Brandon, and nigh did for her ladyship's cause." "Aye," says I again, bending over my platter, "'tis ill sport to bait a poor soul as be helpless, I think. Nay, I know, for I've stood there myself ere now, though I won't say as I didn't clod this fellow once or twice today myself. I were a rare clodder in my time." "Did you clod this big rogue, master?"
"No."
"And wherefore not?"
"Because," says I, cutting myself more beef, "I happen to be that same rogue."
Here Roger, the landlord, stared. His buxom wife shrank away, and even the talkative peddler grew silent a while, viewing me with his shrewd, merry eyes.
"Aha," says he at last, "'twas you, was it?"
"It was."
"And why must you salt a noble lady?"
"I never did."
"Gregory swears to it."
"Gregory is a liar."
"Which is true enough, so we be," nodded the landlord.
"And a cruel-hearted man," added his wife. "But Lord, young master, they do have used ye ill. Your poor face all bruised and swole it be."
"Which it be," nodded Roger, "likewise cut. Which be ill for ye, though, like God be here, I won't say but what I mightn't have took a heave at ye had I been there. It being natural like to heave things at such times, do you see?"
"Very natural," says I.
"And then why," questioned the little peddler, "why break open the wicket gate?"
"To get in."
"Ha ha," quoth God be the peddler, winking roguish eye.
On the prigging lay, perchance, cull, or peradventure the mill can. Speak plain, pal, all's bowman. I'm no flash cull, says I, neither buzz, file, mill can, nor scamperer. Mum, pal, mum, I'm no more flash than you be. Though I've no love for the harmon beck, says Roger here will tell ye. A peddler be I, and well liked, wish I may swing else, I. Well beloved is kind God be, especially by wenches and children. Aha, many's the yard of ribbon and lace, the garters, pins, ballads, gingerbread men, pigs and elephants, very fair gilt, as they've had a kind God be, and all for love. And yet, plague and perish it, here's me warned off my pitch. Here's me with the damn catch-poles on my heels, and all along of this same Gregory Bragg wrought him. As to that I know not, says I, but this I'll swear to. You are a man, God be the peddler, and one with a bold and kindly heart inside you. How so? He questioned, his bright eyes all of a twinkle. How so, my bully boy? That pannikin of water, which you didn't get, my cocksbody lad, which you were man enough to bring me, which Tom Button did ye out of, which you knocked him down for, which is gospel true, Roger and Cicely, 'twas a neat throw, Tom bumped heavy, aye, on common flat were Tom, let me eat worms else. For all of the which, says I, cutting more beef, I ask you now to drink a stoup of ale with me. Well, my heart, cries the peddler. Then, says I, laying my money on the table, let us all drink in fellowship for ale. Like fellowship is a goodly thing, and good things be rare in this world. And that's true, a conscience, smiled the buxom Cicely. And you'll find no better brew than our own, quoth Roger. That I'll swear to, laughed the peddler. Cram me with spiders else. So the good ale was brought. And Godby, lifting his tankard, smiled and nodded over the creamy foam. Here's a griping colic to every catch-pole, harmon beck, and the like vermin twixt this and London town, says he, and lifted the ale to his lips. But suddenly he sat it down untasted and rose. Friends, I'm took, quoth he. See yonder. As he spake, the narrow doorway was darkened, and two rough fellows entered, and each bore a formidable bludgeon. "Aye," says one big surly-voiced fellow, "here be us, peddler, and there be you, so best come easy, and no tricks, mind." "Then easy does it, lads," says Godby, no whit abashed. "No lamb could come milder than Godby. Aye, lambs, doves, and babes is roaring lions compared with Godby. So easy does it. What is it this time, codgers?" 4 hours, I the pillory, 3, I the stocks, and a month in Maidstone jail, that's what. And enough, too, growled Roger the landlord, clenching hairy fist and glancing furtively towards a rusty sword suspended above the hearth. Let be, Roger. I'm a lamb, sighed the peddler, and I wouldn't have you in trouble by me. Besides, this room of yourn, though snug, ain't fit for struggling or striving, so, friends, goodbye. Then he turned away between his two captors. But as he did so, his bright eyes for one moment met mine, and in his look I read appeal. Now scarce were they gone when I got me to my feet, whereat the landlord Roger did the like. What's to do? He questioned, glancing yearningly from me to the rusty sword. Why now, says I, counting out my reckoning, bide you here for your good wife's sake. I do now, Roger, she pleaded. 'Twould be ruination to us. Moreover, says I, reaching for my cudgel, they are but two, so bide you here. Then I stepped forth of the tavern, and very soon came up with the two fellows, their prisoner walking betwixt them meekly enough. But as I approached, they halted all three. And what be you after? Demanded the surly fellow. You? And what do you want of us, hey? You're a prisoner. Ha! And what for? I've a mind to him. Ha, you have, eh? I have. Do I get him? Be cursed for a black, ugly rogue. That's no answer. 'Tis all you'll get a wee, save our knocks, says the man, spitting in his hand and taking firm grip of his bludgeon.
"Why, then, I must take him," says I.
"Try and be damned," roared the fellow. "Ah, look alive, Jim." And whirling up his staff, he made at me amain, but I sprang aside, and as his rush carried him past, my answering stroke caught him fairly twixt wrist and elbow, and his cudgel spun harmlessly into the hedge. Breathing curses, he sought to close with me, but I, keeping my distance, smote him very blithely how and where I would, until he, his arm useless, misliking my bludgeon play and reading no mercy in my look, very wisely betook him to his heels. Hereupon I turned to find the little peddler sitting astride his man's neck and his fist against the fellow's nose. "Smell it, Job," he was saying. "Smell it, lad. 'Tis the fist of a man as would be a groping for your liver if it weren't for the respect I do bear your old mother. Skin me else. So thank your old mother, lad. First, as you've got a liver, and second, for a saving of that liver. Now get up, Job. Begone, Job, out of your pal, and tell folk as kindly God be, though sore tempted, never so much as set finger on your liver, and all along of your good old mother. Away with ye." So the fellow got him to his legs, mighty rueful, and sped away after his comrade. "Pal," says the little peddler, reaching out and grasping my hand, "here's full quittance for that pannikin of water as you never got. And now, what's the word?" "Now," says I, "let us go back and drink the good ale." "Pal," quoth the peddler with a flash of white teeth, "with all my heart." Thus we presently returned to the little tavern and found there Roger the landlord, the rusty sword in one brawny fist, his wife holding fast to the other. At the sight of us, he dropped the weapon and roared joyously, and Cicely, running to us, clasped our hands in hearty welcome. So we sat down all four, and while we quaffed the ale, Godby described our late encounter with great exactness. "Pal," he said thereafter, reaching across the table to grip my hand again, "what might your name be?"
"Martin."
"Why then, Martin, have you any friends or kin?"
"None."
"No more have I. And look now, this Kent country is no fit place for you or me out of today. So what I says is, I'll let you and me pat it, pal. The road, lad, the good high road, ah! How say ye, Martin?"
"No."
"Why no, pal?"
"Because after tonight, if I chance to be neither dead nor in prison, I'm for shipboard."
"'Tis an ill life, pal."
"Why, life is an ill thing," says I.
"Nay, look ye, Martin, life may be worth whiles now and then. Aye, lad, there be times, good times."
"What times?"
"Well, Martin, to lie snug neath hedge a star time, when your fire's low and the stars peep down through leaves at a man, wink they go and wink, wink, till, watching them, a man forgets his troubles a while, and knows something o' content. Ah, many's the time o' star time they've winked me and my troubles asleep. Then there's wakens o' bird time, with the sun up, dew a sparkle, and life callin' within ye and without, and the birds, ah, the birds, Martin, a-fillin' the world with brave songs o' hope, new-born like the day. Ah, many's the morn the birds ha' waked me, and I as merry as any grig. Lord love their beaks and wings. There's haytime o' the evening, full o' soft, sweet smells, ah, sweet as a lad's first kiss. There's wheat time at noon where the ears a rustle, and the wit a scythe and whetstone. There's night, Martin, and the long black road dippin' and a windin'. But with the beam o' light beyond, lad, the good light is tells of journey done, of companionship, and welcomes and belike. Eyes o' love with lusty ale," quoth Roger, setting three new-filled pipkins before us. "And none better nor ourn, eh, wife?" "That I do swear to, Roger," laughed the peddler. "Choke me else. But now, as to the sea, Martin, pal, "'Tis a dog's life. You know the sea, then. Like my hand, Martin, and all along my father's godliness. A fine big man he was, and devout as he was lusty. Having begot me, his next duty was to name me, and, oh, pal, name me he did. A name as no rascal lad might live up to, a name as brought me into such troublous faction ashore that he packed me off to sea. And if you ax me what that name was, I'll answer ye bold and true. God be here, Jenkins, at your service, though God be for shorten, twixt friends." Now, the more I saw of this little peddler, the better I liked him, so that the hour was late when, having supped excellently well, I rose to take my leave. "If you must be away, young master," said the buxom Cicely, "don't ye forget, there be ever a welcome for ye at the hop pole, eh, Roger?" "There is so," nodded the landlord. "Likewise a pipkin of ale and a bite, and all gratis to a pal." "And look'ee, Martin, my cove," quoth the peddler, grasping my hand, "there be ever and always the good high road leading on and away to better things. So, happen ye should change your mind, seek me here twixt this and dawn, if tomorrow ye shall hear of God be at the fox at Spindleman. So, luck go with ye, my being cold." "And you," says I, "should you be minded to sail with me, go to the Peck o' Malt at Bedgebury Cross. The word is the faithful friend, and ask for Adam Penfeather." So presently stepped forth of the little tavern where I had found such kindliness, and turning from the narrow lane, struck off across the fields. It was a sweet warm night, the moon not up as yet. Thus, as I went, I lifted my gaze to the heavens where stars made a glory, and beholding these wondrous fires, I needs must recall the little peddler's saying, and ponder his good times, his times of stars and birds, of noon and eventide, of welcome sweet and eyes of love. And now I was of a sudden filled with a great yearning and a passionate desire that I too might know such times. But as I climbed a stile, my hand by chance came upon the knife at my girdle, and sitting on the stile, I drew it forth and fell to handling its broad blade. And doing so, knew in my heart that such times were not for me, nor ever could be. And sitting there, knife in hand, desire and yearning were lost, and whelmed in fierce and black despair. Please join me next week for another exciting chapter of Black Bartlemy's Treasure on Thrilling Tales of Adventure.